How can a microchip manufacturer keep track of 250 million control points at once?
How can technology behind animated movies help enterprises reimagine their future?
Built for Change listeners know those answers and more. I'm Elise Hu.
And I'm Josh Klein. We're the hosts of Built for Change, a podcast from Accenture.
We talk to leaders of the world's biggest companies to hear how they've reinvented their business to create industry-shifting impact.
And how you can, too.
New episodes are coming soon, so check out Built for Change wherever you get your podcasts.
From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily. Today, what exactly is a skinny repeal? And the president says transgender people will not be allowed in the military. The military says that's news to them. It's Thursday, July 27th. Just hours after the Senate voted Tuesday to begin debating the future of the Affordable Care Act, they took a major vote on a bill to repeal and replace the law immediately.
On this vote, the yeas are 43, the nays are 57. The motion is not agreed to.
It failed by a wide margin. Then, on Wednesday,
on this vote, the yeas are 45, the nays are 55.
Senate Republicans took another vote on a bill to repeal the law in 2 years.
The amendment is not agreed to.
That, too, failed by a wide margin. Carl Hulse, why do you take two big votes that you know are going to fail?
What they're doing right now is trying to find something, anything that can get majority support. It's very unusual, kind of unsenatorial in some ways, the way they're doing this from the tradition. You know, you've got a bill, you know, we're going to make a few changes in it and we're going to send it on to the House. In this case, they're kind of actually trying to find their bill out of all these votes. You know, what can work? Mitch McConnell is pulling out all the stops. The failures of these other proposals could be setting up the Senate approval of kind of a last-ditch plan that's being called on Capitol Hill the skinny repeal or the skinny bill. You know, there's always these cute little names attached to things.
Well, I want to get to what the skinny bill is, but you're identifying basically two failures leading to a third bill. So as someone who covers Congress and has for quite some time, why don't you just start with the third bill you think might succeed?
It's sort of their final alternative. It's their last ditch. They'd rather not do it that way.
But they don't like it as much as they like the previous two.
Right. I mean, there's more in the previous bills and they get to do more with it. The skinny bill, as it's being called, just does a few things that there's basic agreement on. It would get rid of some of the basic requirements that individuals have to buy insurance, which is a main element of Obamacare.
Got it.
Employers, it would reduce some of the requirements on them. And then on a major bipartisan thing, it would eliminate this medical device tax, it's called a tax on medical equipment, that there's been big bipartisan majorities in the House and Senate trying to get rid of this. So they have to get down to a bill that may be so spare that people can support it and move on. But it's certainly not, you know, mass overturning of Obamacare and changing in the insurance markets.
Got it. And it sounds like it would leave in place something that has been incredibly polarizing, which is the expansion of state Medicaid.
Right. Medicaid is the big issue for a lot of Republicans, so this would not touch that.
Okay. So was this skinny repeal always an option in the Senate, or is this recognition by the Republicans that given their inability to get to a vote for the past 6 months, that this is basically the only choice?
Yeah, it's a recognition that this might be all that they can get, but they want to get something. You know, Mitch McConnell, you know, his skills have been called into question in the past few weeks.
Right.
You know, is he the master of the Senate or is he blowing this? You know, he doesn't want that reputation tarnished, and he's trying to do whatever he can to deliver some sort of victory and move the ball down the field here on health care.
So, Carl, what's happening between now, Thursday morning and Friday? Is the Senate just trying to get this skinny repeal bill into a passable place?
Well, they're trying to do that, but they're also going into what we on Capitol Hill call a votorama. And it's exactly what it sounds like it is. It's going to be multiple amendment votes. Both parties are going to do their best to make the other party look bad. This could go on for hours and hours. Mm-hmm. But I do say in the past, you know, people go in with great intentions to make everyone stay and vote there forever. But they do tend to peter out after a while. You know, there's a lot of older folks in the Senate.
and just for those of us who need the civics class, an amendment is exactly what?
Well, they'll all offer a proposal to attach to the bill. Most of them are going to require 60 votes. Very few, if any, are going to pass. And, you know, they won't really change the bill much, but they will maybe embarrass senators who have to vote for or against them.
Got it. Like thorns attached to the side of a stem.
That is one way to think about it, Michael. I like that.
I try.
And right. There will be some blood.
Carl, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
We'll be right back.
I'm Shane Goldmacher. I'm a national political correspondent for The New York Times covering the 2024 election. I have off and on for years covered the role of money in politics, and that means sifting through tens of thousands of line items in campaign reports, looking at who's getting paid, how much they're getting paid, who's donating to these campaigns, who's reserved the most ads on Google, who's this billionaire changing the shape of the race with a single check. Look, the campaign spin, the strategists tell you one thing, the numbers don't really lie, and those numbers help us ask the right questions. That's what's so special about The New York Times. We get to tap the collective knowledge and wisdom of my colleagues who have expertise in every nook and cranny of this country and this campaign trail to tell you the full story of what's happening in these critical moments in the last few weeks of the election. If this kind of coverage is important to you, you can support it by subscribing to The New York Times at nytimes.com/subscribe.
When President Trump is in office, can we look for more forward motion on equality for gays and lesbians?
Well, you can. And look, we're going to bring people together.
As a candidate, Donald Trump often described himself as an ally to gay, lesbian, and transgender people.
I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens from the violence and oppression of a hateful foreign ideology. Believe me.
How would you speak to a child or grandchild who is gay?
Well, it's the way it is. I mean, I wouldn't speak to them at all about it other than they are who they are. And I want them to be happy and I will love them.
And I have to say, as a Republican, it is so nice to hear you cheering for what I just said. Thank you.
Ask yourself, who is really the friend of women and the LB and LGBT community? Donald Trump with actions or Hillary Clinton with her words? I will tell you who the better friend is, and someday I believe that will be proven out bigly.
On Wednesday morning, President Trump made an announcement. Helene Cooper, what was this announcement from the president?
Well, it was a tweet. I don't know if I would even characterize it as an announcement. The president tweeted that transgender people in the military would no longer be accepted or allowed. And then he sort of misrepresented some studies that said that they cost too much money. And that took a lot of people here at the Pentagon by surprise, because that's been an issue that people here thought had been laid to rest. And a lot of people were very, very frightened that they could lose their jobs.
Well, Helene, what exactly does this mean for active transgender members of the military?
That's a really good question, and that will go to how this is implemented. President Trump put out a tweet today that, if you read it in its exact wording, basically says that if you're transgender and you're serving in the military, you're out. We don't want you here. Go. You no longer have a job. That's a really extreme interpretation,
right?
But that's what he said. Now, is that what he exactly meant? We don't know at this point. We haven't heard yet from the Defense Secretary, Jim Mattis, in part because a lot of this took many, many people by surprise. Jim Mattis, the Defense Secretary, is actually on vacation this week.
It sounds like what you're saying is that the rollout of this is feeling a little chaotic within the Pentagon. Is that how it feels.
There is no rollout. The first thing, there is no rollout at this point because the Pentagon wasn't expecting it. So the first thing they did was to put out a statement saying, don't ask us, go to the commander-in-chief. He's the one who made out the statement. Because at the end of the day, President Trump is the commander-in-chief. It's just this sort of thing is such a big deal and it's such a switch in policy that it's usually not done via tweet.
Got it. Helene, how many transgender people are in the military?
There's debate about that. Some organizations say we have about up to 16,000. Others say that it could be somewhere in the lower, maybe 7,000 to 9,000. So that number has never been quite settled. Certainly, there are hundreds of people, probably more than 1,000 people, who've come out as transgender since when the Obama administration came out last summer with their policy allowing transgender service members to serve. And one of the things one of them told me was he compared it to, you know, the army suddenly resegregating itself. It's just black people, he said, were suddenly being told that, oh, you know what, you're no longer welcome in the military. We've changed our mind.
Helene, you mentioned the Obama administration's decision to allow transgender people to serve. What did that exactly do?
It was a decision announced on June 30th, 2016.
I'm announcing today that we're ending the ban on transgender Americans in the United States military.
There was a lot of lead up to it that basically said the United States military will accept transgender recruits and that people who are currently transgender and in the military are okay.
And I'm 100% confident in the ability of our military leaders and all our men and women in uniform to implement these changes in a manner that both protects the readiness of the force and also upholds values cherished by the military. Honor, trust, and judging every individual on their merits.
And Helene, what was the policy and the day-to-day experience of transgender people before President Obama made that change?
There were still transgender people in the military, but this was sort of like gays in the military prior to revoking of don't ask, don't tell. People didn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. It was whispered about. You know, a lot of people were thrown out of the military when they came out as transgender. And, you know, people say that with transgender in the military, it's a self-selecting group. They're more believed to be in the military than in the broader population of the United States.
Fascinating.
And that's which is why it's something that the military and the Pentagon has had to grapple with and has been grappling with for years. And it sort of showed up as an issue here before it did as an issue, you know, on the larger American political scale. Before there were bathroom bills, people in the Pentagon were talking, discussing how to deal with the larger percentage of transgender people, you know, in the military.
Helene, what is the president saying is his reasoning for doing this right now?
President Trump says his reasoning for doing that is that he's received tons of advice from military advisors who tell him that it's affecting military readiness and that it's too expensive.
Do you think that's his real reason?
No, I think his real reason is probably political. I think this is definitely an effort to appeal to the right wing who may feel that they haven't gotten much out of a Trump presidency so far.
And it sounds like you haven't heard from military officials that they have concerns about transgender people in the military.
They have always been concerns, but they were working through it. That's just it. The whole issue of whether you could be transgender in the military had been settled after years of debate and study here. The only controversy remaining was over accession. That's how do we bring in and how do we accept in the people who haven't joined yet and who are transgender and what do we do for them?
Okay. Helene, you said that the president cited financial figures about the cost of having transgender people in the military and that his numbers might not be accurate. What do we know about that?
There have been two studies recently, one by RAND Corporation and the other one by the New England Journal of Medicine, looking at just how much it would cost to provide health care for transgender people in the military. And those numbers have been pretty small. Like one study came up with $5 million, the other one was $8 million a year. And if you know the Pentagon budget, that's kind of peanuts.
Finally, Helene, when does this order theoretically take effect? Is it immediate now that the president has tweeted about it?
We don't know. All we have are these three tweets. And certainly nobody at the Pentagon knows when this takes place. So we're all waiting with bated breath to hear from the White House when this goes into effect.
Helene, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael.
What happens to transgender service members now? Are they immediately thrown out of the military?
That's something that the Department of Defense and the White House will have to work together as implementation takes place and is done so lawfully.
Hey, it's Michael Barbaro from the New York Times. How are you?
Doing good, thanks. I've been looking forward to your call.
Before we start, can I just get you to introduce yourself?
My name is Ashley Bruce. I'm a 26-year-old staff sergeant, and I am stationed at Buckley Air Force Base, Colorado.
And how long have you been in the military?
I'll have been in 4 years this October.
And I'm curious, why did you choose to join the military in the first place?
So before I joined, I was in college and working as a server in a restaurant, and I was just kind of drifting through life, not really doing anything good with my life, and I realized that I needed to make a change. And you know, in college, I really started to explore my gender. It was the first time I ever went out as a girl and realized that I wasn't happy as a male, and that whenever I would present as female, I was always so content and so happy, and always I would look at myself in the mirror and think, this is who I'm supposed to be. But it was just an impossible dream because I grew up in South Carolina and that wasn't acceptable. And I didn't want anybody to find out, especially my family. The people I look up to in my life are my dad and one of my brothers. And I look up to them. And I always wanted to be like them and make them proud.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured by joining the military, I could live up to their standard and make them happy, because the military is kind of a masculine place. And that's what I wanted to be, was masculine. But it didn't so much as make me more manly, because what does that even mean? That's a kind of an abstract thing. But in the Air Force, I found a sense of belonging that I'd never had before. I've never, as a transgender person, you always kind of feel left out and that you don't belong anywhere. So the whole experience really changed my life for the better. And it wasn't exactly in the way I expected it to. And I don't think I would have been able to come out and have the strength or the courage to without the Air Force, and without things I've learned in my time in the service.
Ashley, President Obama changed the military's policy on transgender service members last year, but I wonder what your experience was before then.
I was always worried that my roommate or somebody like that would catch me presenting female, because I still went out as a girl. I still had to have that stress relief for me.
So you did that off base?
Yeah, off duty, off base. And that was a constant fear anytime I would present female, that somebody I know would be there, that it would become an issue. And inside my head, I began to build up this monster, and that, oh my gosh, if anybody finds out, they're going to throw me out of the military, and I'm not going to have a place to live. I'm going to have to give up something I love. And day by day, since the Obama change, I've been knocking that monster down bit by bit.
What did those changes made by President Obama allow you to do?
It gave me the option, an option I'd never had before in my life, to be a woman and live how I wanted to be while still doing something I loved. I had never really been able to think about transition as a legitimate goal, because I never had the option. But with the change, I began to entertain the thought, and, you know, here I am transitioning to living as a woman. And I never expected that to happen, but here I am, and the Air Force has given me the ability to do that.
Ashley, where are you now in the transition process?
Right now in the transition process, I'm basically going through a social transition, kind of going out as female as much as I can and working my way up to a physical transition where I start taking hormones. But it takes a little bit in the military because it's a new policy, so I haven't started taking hormones yet, but I'm getting there. Every day I get closer to that goal, and I wake up and I think, maybe today I'll get the call to go down there and see them and do my thing.
So it sounds like you were going to be working with the military to undergo a medical transition. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And the military is providing those services, and it sounds like paying for them.
Yes.
What has the process been like of working with the military and presumably your superiors to begin your gender transition? Have they been supportive?
Everybody has been really supportive, and it's been great. You know, I love being a part of the Air Force, and my chain of command has really come out and supported me, given me their all. And so the process is you have to go to a multi medical disciplinary team.
Mm-hmm.
Together, you work with them and create a transition plan that's going to meet your needs and going to meet the needs of the military. Because after all, the mission comes first. And that's what I go to work every day, to accomplish the mission and make sure this country stays defended and our people are protected.
Ashley, I wonder where you were and how you first learned of President Trump's very sudden decision on Wednesday to roll back this policy and to ban transgender people from the military.
I was at home. I had the day off, so I woke up and I had an outpouring of support from my friends at work.
So they told you the news?
They did, yeah. They were worried about me and they were making sure I was okay. And they wanted me to know that they supported me and that they had my back, and that no matter the policy, they still love me. And they thought that I was a valuable member of the Air Force and that this was a shame. My supervisor, he went up and spoke to our first sergeant and got some clarification for me. And he's been very proactive today and getting the information that I need and sharing anything with me that he knows.
And what clarification did you receive from him, if any?
Basically just a don't panic clarification that, you know, you're going to come to work and nothing's going to change that in the immediate term. What happens in the future, we'll deal with that in the future.
I'm curious, after hearing the President of the United States, who's the Commander-in-Chief, your Commander-in-Chief, say that transgender people will not be accepted in the military, what was your reaction?
I have nothing but respect for President Trump, and he is my Commander-in-Chief, and if he, that's what his decision is, then so be it. But until that day, I'm not going to stop serving in the Air Force, and that I'm going to come to work every day until they won't let me come to work anymore, because I owe the Air Force a debt for taking care of me and changing my life for the better. And until the Air Force tells me I can't do that anymore, then I'm going to continue to serve honorably and do my best to continue the mission and protect our citizens and our way of life.
Well, Ashley, I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Good luck, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
On Wednesday, several Republican senators, including Orrin Hatch, Joni Ernst, and John McCain, voiced alarm over the president's announcement. In a statement, McCain said, quote, "There is no reason to force service members who are able to fight, train, and deploy to leave the military, regardless of their gender identity. Any American who wants to serve our country and is able to meet the standards should have the opportunity to do so, and should be treated as the patriots they are." Here's what else you need to know today. House Majority Whip Steve Scalise has been discharged from the hospital 6 weeks after a lone gunman opened fire on members of the Republican congressional baseball team during an early morning practice in Virginia. Scalise was standing at second base and was shot in the left hip. After several surgeries and a serious infection, the Louisiana congressman has been moved to a rehabilitation center. And for the third day in a row, President Trump attacked his attorney general, Jeff Sessions, this time over Sessions' appointment of Andrew McCabe as acting director of the FBI. Trump wrote on Twitter that McCabe is a friend of fired FBI director James Comey and should therefore be fired himself by Sessions. Amid growing speculation that Trump may fire Sessions, Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said this.
Look, you can be disappointed in someone but still want them to continue to do their job, and that's where they are.
That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you tomorrow.